This is a great passage of Scripture. This is the Transfiguration. In our tradition, we have Transfiguration Sunday, which was last Sunday. But this is, and so we had this reading on Sunday, but then today, we, in our tradition, again, we use a lectionary, which gives us readings every day, readings for weekends, and for Sundays. Sundays are separate from the daily readings. We have daily readings that are all 7 days of the week. So this is the daily reading for today, the gospel lesson that we read today. And it was really neat when I saw this morning, because when Bishop was preaching on Sunday, I just had some thoughts about this. And then this morning when I opened up my Bible, I have an app, imagine that tells me what the readings are. And when I looked at the readings and scrolled down and read the gospel reading, I was like, oh, wow, man, that's so cool. I wished I could speak today, have the word today, instead of Father Craig, because he was the one who was scheduled today to have the word. And so about 45 minutes later, Father Craig calls me and goes, I gotta go to Birmingham. So I said, well, okay, that's good. That's awesome. And then slowly but surely, everyone called me and said, I got to do something. I can't be here. So I was left to my own devices today. So hopefully I can make sense out of this a little bit. I was given a word by Meg Truman, which some of you know Meg, the very first time I ever met Meg, which is, it was in Fairfield, and I was up there for a conference thing. And, I was one of the very last ones, because I always sit in the back, and being an introvert, and so I always tend to be the last one, the last two or three people to ever do anything kind of person. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go, because I didn't know nobody. I'd just been coming to a CEC church for a little while. And so anyway, so I went for it. So Meg starts to pray for me, and she just kind of stops, and she just gets real quiet for me. She said, you know, you're just kind of a rubber meet the road kind of guy. I didn't say anything, and she just prayed a little bit. And she goes, you're just a rubber meets the road kind of guy. And that was her whole word. And that is so true. For me, the gospel and Christianity is about where the rubber meets the road. I wish that I could come up with really cool messages and spiritual messages like Bishop and Father Craig do, but mine tend to be much more practical. Because when I read these things, God kind of speaks to me in these practical ways. You know, when I read this particular gospel, I was, you know, I always think of the apostles and what idiots they were. And they were not the brightest guys, you know, until after they received the Holy Spirit, you know. Pretty much the way we are, but really think about it, they were just not that bright at that time. They just said stupid things. Done stupid things. You know. But, you know, kind of put yourself in their place. There's these three guys, Peter, James, and John. They're kind of like the upper echelon. They're the three most prominent disciples. We know Peter is kind of basically the leader, and James and John are called the sons of thunder, so we know that they had mouths that went rant all the time. Just from that description, being that they were just always had their opinion and they voiced their opinions quite a bit. But Jesus was always taking these three guys to themselves. And so he takes them up to this mountain, and they see this incredible thing. For the first time since Moses, God reveals himself. It says that Jesus was transfigured, and that he was changed. You look up that word, it means transformed, changed into something else. Jesus became who he was, the Son of God, fully. It was so impacting that even his clothing became this blazing white. And so here you are, being Peter, that is always impulsive, James and John, who are always, they've got their two cents in. And the best you can come up with is, because Moses and Elijah, they do appear. If you look in this description, it says Moses and Elijah appeared. They weren't transfigured. Nothing was transformed. It just said they appeared. And they recognized that it was Moses and it was Elijah. But this is the most incredible thing to me. They still don't recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet he's transfigured before. And so Peter comes up with the bright idea, which is the way I would do it, is because you know, you're at a loss to say something because you're dumbfounded by it. You say really stupid things. And, you know, if you're a person who's impulsively to talk, you just blurt them out. So that's what Peter did. He said, oh, man, let's make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And instantly, a cloud comes, and God speaks out of the cloud. He says, and I looked up this one word, because I didn't like it. It shows a different translation in my Bible. In verse 7, it says, a cloud formed and overshadowed them, shadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Most translations of Maria says, listen to him. But that word listen is really should be translated, give constant, consistent heed to him. You would think at about this time that they were kind of getting it a little bit. But when we flip over, in my Bible we flip over to the next verses, we find that the disclosure goes on with this. I mean, it starts with that this happens. They hear the voice. They've got Jesus, but they don't know who this is. He's the rabbi. He's the guy they're following. But apparently, they still haven't got this figured out. But they know who Moses is. They know who Elijah is. And a voice comes out, and then it's like they look around, and they're left with Jesus. Now, wouldn't you kind of begin to kind of put a little bit together at this time? That going like this is the guy. This is the important guy here. This you really need to listen to what this guy is saying. Pay really good close attention. But being the first disciples, it says as it was coming down from the mountain that Jesus gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man rose from the dead. It has an interesting thing. It says they seized upon that one thought, raised from the dead. And they begin to question, what does that mean? Raised from the dead. Now, what's interesting is that if you go to the fifth chapter of Mark, you find that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to go to a house where there's a little girl that's died, and he goes in and he raises her from the dead. You'd think they'd have it figured out what being raised from the dead was. They'd seen it happen. But they seized upon that because it was something they could talk about. And they begin to talk about it and discuss it among themselves. And then we go on through with all this. And then, again, I found it interesting that Peter, is like, he's kind of getting busted a little bit here. And so then he comes up with this, well, let's talk about Elijah. And he really shouldn't have been talking about Jesus. Shouldn't the question have been like, really, who are you? Who are you? Explain this more in detail. Like we're kind of starting to maybe not really understand that we don't really get this. Who are you? And so my question is always to me, well, the Lord's question, because I always go, the disciples are like crazy. And then, I read that, and then the Lord says, yeah, but so are you. And then he begins to relate my craziness of how I do identically the same thing. Identically the same thing. Most of our problems in Christianity are created by this problem. Is that rather than our whole focus being upon Jesus and who he is, we keep, because we don't quite understand him, and we think that we should, you're not going to be able to, because he is God. And God is really not quite understandable. We can understand something, but he's real clear that his ways are not our ways. And that he's infinite. He's infinitely smarter than we are in everything else. And so there's only so much that we can comprehend of who God is and who and how he acts. And as soon as we put a box around God saying, this is how God acts, he will always blow that box apart. He will be transfigured, in a sense. And then you have to try to figure it out again. And so most of us, we fall back to what the apostles did, and that they saw Moses, saw Elijah. This was the whole Old Testament. Yeah. And focus on them rather than focusing on her. And we do that so much. I do that. I've done that so many times in my life. That I'll be somewhere or something, and Jesus will appear in just a miraculous way. He'll do something miraculous. It's just astounding to me. And I'll get caught up sometimes in what he did, and not who he is. Or I hear a teaching that is brilliant. It's something a little new. It's a refreshing of something. And I get caught up into this teaching, this new theology, this new whatever. And then, you know, I'm going down that road, you know. And it's not him. So he has to bring me back to that focus. He has in all of us. So my question now is, how about you? Have you kind of lost who he is in the midst of the stuff? And it's good stuff. Elijah was awesome. And he walked in signs and wonders and power and authority like had never really been seen since the days of Moses. And of course, Moses was everything. Who's the deliverer, the prototype of the deliverer? He rescued the Jewish people. You know, he gave us everything in the Old Testament. He wrote the first five books, and on and on and on. So this, not that things are bad, not that miraculous, astounding visitations from the Lord are bad in any way, not that great teaching and theology is bad in any way whatsoever. It's not. It's awesome. But it's not. You always have to keep in mind that everything in Christianity is about him. It's not about me, it's not about you, and it's not about them. It's always about him. So all of it should point us and cause our hearts to long in a greater way. To long just simply for him. Just simply for him. Who he is and what he's doing. And then just behold him in his glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.